Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, and I am excited to be here today. I'm glad y'all are all with me. Today, I am joined by a special guest, Mr. Leland Rubin and Ron Gay. Leland, financial guru, y'all. He is traveling all over the world, teaching people on financial literacy. He's an advocate, and he wants to help over 1,000 people become millionaires. And I believe it's going to happen. And we're about to dive deep into this story of how he actually got started and how he's making things happen and creating a movement for people to get out of this stuck place and obtain financial freedom. Let's go, y'all.
Hey, so man, let's get this party started. Even though we already got the pre going. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, D. Wells of Why Not You. And I got two special guests with me today, Leland Rubin and Ron Jeezy, and we're going to be on that financial piece. These are financial gurus, and we're about to hear from them live and direct. Mr. Leland Rubin and Ron Jeezy, welcome.
Yes, man. Sir. Thank you.
All right. Pleasure, man. I'm glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, man, you know, it's such an exciting opportunity to be amongst greatness, man. Just to be in your presence and, you know, like I said, the platform you created to give opportunities for folks to hear from some people that they normally wouldn't hear from, man. Today, it's an honor and a pleasure, of course, to be around you and especially around my mentor. One of the most exciting, dynamic people I know is my cousin, my blood cousin, Leland Rubin. I watched this dude come from the mud to being scraped, to go through so much different different obstacles and to come out of that and become the person that he is. I mean, to take on the challenges of our neighborhood and to make it out. And to make it out in a way that you make it out where you're willing to give back to it and feed and have people feed off of you and you helping others to eat and become the person that's part of the lending system and not part of the borrowing system anymore. Yeah. Where contributing to people's lives. This guy right here, man, I'm speaking in that fashion because he's changing lives and we're changing lives with what we do with this program, you know, with our financial literacy program and, you know, just teaching financial solutions and the things that, you know, he's taught me as my mentor comes from the fact that this guy's actually has several degrees. Of course, you already know how he get down.
Right.
Golden Gate University, he has an MBA. Of course, he was a hoop star, went all across the country playing ball. You know, we both played on high levels. But man, things that he's doing in the community, him and his wife, by creating this Ascensions group and this Ascensions team has been incredibly awesome. I mean, just the type of people that he's been able to develop. His goal is to create multifaceted millionaires throughout our community to take what he's been blessed with and the opportunities that he's learned from, you know, his dynamic parents to, you know, the education that he's received and just to give that back to the community and teach us basically how to do things with our money so that we can know what exactly, why not you? Why not us? Why not
That's
us
right.
know about what we can do financially? So, you know, without further ado, man, I'm going to let Leland take control of most of this today. And I'm just here to, you know, just to let you know how learning from him has actually changed my life. Of course, you know, I work in the tech sector and I decided to join in. God brought us together for various reasons. And this is, and that's for us to both feed off each other and to constantly grow as we continue to lift and climb and just destroy weaker elements in our community. He brought us together to make sure that we do this in a way so they can see that two powerful brothers that came from some diverse situations are here to just to show you that this stuff, when it comes to money, you don't have to be afraid of making it. You deserve
That's right.
it. Now you got to know what to do with it when you get it and how to maintain a future that you got to have with your family to be able to leverage that so that you can take these opportunities that we have in the financial community and do something special with that, meaning leaving legacies, meaning creating opportunities for not just you, but your family. And then being smart enough to know that you got something in place just in case, you know, things don't go the way they're supposed to go. Because two things are going to happen in what we do in this life. You're going to retire. And of course, unfortunately, you're going to have to leave this planet. So Lee's going to let us know a lot more about that. But, man, I'm super excited to be here with you guys, man, and to be able to spread this message of financial literacy. Lee, man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the fact that we got this opportunity. I was able to connect with, of course, my frat brother.
That's right.
My cat. And bring us all together. Let's just make this thing magical today, right, Lee, man, so people know specifically how we get out.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate you guys hooking it up, for sure.
Yeah.
And before we get into it, Leland, let's just start it off with a quote, man. Just start it off with a quote. This is by Robert Kiyosaki. One of the biggest mistakes uneducated investors make is they invest the way they gamble. Man, how true is that?
Man, that is absolutely true, man, because so many people right now think that they're investing in their future and they think that they're investing in their retirement, but they're gambling with their money because they're not educated and they don't understand exactly that they could lose at that game because they don't have any security around it. So, you know, we'll kind of talk about a lot of those things today, but if you have some of those, what I call government plans or government owned plans, that's gambling as well.
Right.
And so, Jobs have been handling out gambling situations since 1981, since Reaganomics. And the other side of it is that people playing these markets and doing different things like that. Mm. Here's a stat that you might be interested in knowing. Most people talk, sometimes when people talk to me about different products or different things that they're doing with their money, and I ask them a question, do they have a brokerage account? And they go, well, no, I don't have one of those. And I say, well, if you don't have a brokerage account, then you're not even playing on that side of the game.
Mm.
So you got to understand what elements and what tools you got to have first to be able to do that. So 90% of the people in the country don't even have a brokerage account.
And you know, what's crazy that you said that is that here I am, you know, working with the sheriff's department, right? Mm-hmm. Already got like 10 plus years in, and I end up going to this specialty assignment. And then I end up working with some of the guys I end up working with initially when I got hired. And they were like, D, it was like, man, you got that brokerage link set up yet? I was like, brokerage link? What are you talking about? And he said, man, we got that brokerage link on our deferred comp where we can actually manage the money ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they actually hit me to that game and I was actually able to put some money where it was a game changer.
Yeah.
It was a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just so many things that are out there that people really don't understand fully. And that's, we'll kind of hit on some of those things today. But I'm super glad to be here, man, once again. And thank you for having me on here. But yeah, people need to realize that you have one element that is working against you when it comes to money and investing in it. That's called time.
Yeah.
And it's because that waits on nobody. So if you're not putting it in the right place, and you don't have enough time, or you're not utilizing the right type of timelines, it could be very, 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 how can I say this? Down.
Yeah.
Defeating.
Right. He just said it nicely.
Very
y'all.
Defeating.
Right,
you,
right, right, right.
When you get older, it could be very defeating. So, yeah, but.
Don't wait on nobody.
Yeah. No, it doesn't wait on nobody.
Cool. So, man, how long have you actually been like educating people in financial literacy? Not locally, but this brother, this man traveling all over the place teaching people. You're right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've had my own business for about 10 years, but I've been educating people all over the place for almost 18 years. Mm. And so I started off in traditional, and I was always doing things on the side and helping people in the communities. I used to work downtown in San Francisco, and me and my cousin would do a lot of also community work. So I helped a lot of people in the communities understand finance, kind of had people on all different states start reading books. But it really, really took off for me, And back in 2014, when I basically made the jump from basically doing that traditional work into having my own business. And at that point, realizing that there was only about 8% of financial education that was taught in the U.S. And so when I learned that, from a high school perspective and a college perspective, that most people that go to school in the United States, they never touch on financial literacy or financial education. I could use myself as an example, D. I have an MBA in finance and never knew how much I didn't know until I really, really had to go through some trials and tribulations with the stock market, and then found out that what they taught me in school was not real.
Oh, wait.
That didn't exist. That was not the reality. That was books. That was not the reality. So, yeah, but really, all over since 2014 is when it really, really took off to me. And I've been in different countries. I've done seminars. I've been in at least 41 states, carrying a message of financial literacy all over the place. But yeah, it's been going extremely, extremely well for us.
Wow. So what made you like just that transition to be actually be to become an entrepreneur and just kind of step out on faith, man? What was that like?
Man, that's a great question, man. I when I worked myself up to becoming a vice president of a company called Granite Solutions Group, it took me about 13 years to get there, and worked myself all the way up there, got to the top. And when I became a vice president, I thought I was safe. And so I was making about $300,000 a year and had the little corner office and had my little job. And you know, what happened to me in 2015, that company switched over from a company called Fidelity over to a company called Morgan Stanley with our retirement. And so when they did that, that company actually lost our retirement plan. So I lost 90% of my 401k, 403b, stock options. Everybody on here say, ouch.
Ouch.
Right?
Yeah, ouch. That hurt. That hurt. So, it just stung my ears hearing it.
But yeah, when that happened, I lost over 1.1 million in stock options and 401ks and 403bs. So my back was against the wall. I got five beautiful kids. I was approaching 40 years old, and I didn't want to be like the rest of my colleagues. They were talking about the market was going to come back and things were going to return, but I knew that that wasn't going to happen. And so what I did is I started looking around for other options, and somebody invited me to a financial overview. Actually, that person now is my wife. I better make sure I give her full credit. So we were we were not married then. She just had a mutual friend. But my wife, Washma, she was doing this business, and she invited me down to San Jose, California. And when I saw the fact that there was no financial literacy, and most people had a job, were not going to retire, that most of the baby boomers didn't have enough money, were going to outlive their money, and that I could basically help a ton of people, I decided that I would take the leap and get out of traditional and start my own deal. And by the grace of God, man, in my first year of business, I picked up 600 clients.
Wow.
First year of business. Man. Yeah. Matter of fact, a lot of them at the sheriff's department, because I got a lot of buddies in San Francisco. So, so shout out to those guys, because they helped me a lot. But yeah, so I basically took that leap and never looked back. And I fired my boss at the end of 2015.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Man, I'm just tripping because one of the things you, people always think they have it bad, right? And they never know what other people are going through. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people kind of, they relate or they connect wealth or money with happiness. Mm-hmm. And here you are, you losing over 90% of your stuff.
Yeah.
Well, man, that'll drive some people insane.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my cousin said something really funny at the beginning. Ron said we came from the mud. All right. So when I first got something, I was like, all right, you know, that struggle of losing it, you know, it didn't affect me as bad as it affected other people, I guess, because I looked at it as I got to hurry up and do something now, right? And I looked at how many years I was away from 65, and I just got busy real quick. And man, you're right, D, a lot of people just focused on that problem. A lot of people that I know today that are still in that company, they never recovered from that.
Wow.
But for me myself, I was like, man, shoot, I don't want to be broke no more.
I gotta
hurry up and do something now. I mean, I hate to be a little selfish, but okay, that happened. Let's get to phase two. What are we going to do now? So that's kind of how I looked at it, man. It was like, hey, what else you got? Give me something now. And so I actually was blessed enough to be on the prowl and looking, and it fell right in front of my face. And I got two things, man. I got my money back and I got a wife. So I came that's up double. All right. Came up twice.
So, man, that could definitely be like one of just those, it could be one of those defining moments, man, that actually makes you pivot and just start seeking
and just not relying on other people, like just going through that phase, what kind of planning and goal setting did you have to do just to actually help you recover?
Yeah, you know, that's really good. You know, I'm really big on discipline, and I'm really big on short-term goals that turn into my long-term goals. And so we call, you know, your small wins lead to your big wins.
Yeah.
And so what I did back then, is first thing I did is I got around good associations. And so I got around people who have more than me. So I hope that people catch that on when I said that, because if you hang with people who got more than you, then you're more apt to get more than you ever had. And so that was, you know, that was really big. Associations was really big for me. So I sought out mentorship. I talked to people who have more than me and how their mindset kind of worked. And then another thing I did is I use a lot of discipline. I have this thing that I use. I read this book by this guy named Ed Milet. He talks a lot about having 3 days in one. And Ed talks a lot about, you can have one day that's from like 6 to 11, one day that's from like 12 to six, and one day that's like from 6 to 11 at night. And so you can get a lot done in your day if you have 3 days in one. So I actually use that model for myself. Wow. So I was like, hey, if I can get this much done, do that. And then another thing is that I was very, very strict on my calendar. I think a lot of people that are in business struggle with that because they still kind of run their business like an employee. Because you don't, people say, watch this, Derek. People say, hey, I'm a business owner. And I say, okay, how many hours do you put in per week? When they answer me with a number, I know they're not a business owner. Because there is no it's until it gets done. And right. So basically you have to actually have your calendar be your boss. And basically make sure that everything had to be calendared in. My kids had to be calendared in, church had to be calendared in, my dating night had to be calendared in, my travel had to be calendared in. And I used that focus for almost 2 years. And a lot of my family was like, oh man, you know, dude, you're crazy. My friends was like, man, something's wrong with them. But you know what? After that 24-month period, I have more money than I ever had before in my life.
Wow.
Than I ever had before in my life.
Ooh.
So just by using that discipline and understanding that. And yeah, did it get lonely from time to time? Yeah. But there was always something else to accomplish.
Right.
And so, you know, and I learned the fact of what things I needed to have in my life and what things that I didn't need, because my belief system, and this is just my opinion, is that if you want to take the steps towards any type of financial stability or financial freedom, you have to diminish leisure. Oh. You have to diminish leisure. Leisure has to be something that, you know, you can kind of put on the back burner. I'm not saying don't have no fun at all, but what I am saying is that, you know, I always make my cousin and him laugh. How many barbecues have we been to? Right? How many baby showers have? How many weddings have you, Derek? How many weddings have you been to in your life? right? If you counted all of them, you probably could miss a few Saturdays when they have the next ones, right?
Right.
And kind of go do something else. So I kind of used that and was like, man, instead of me one always having to go and be at the party, how about if I go do some things to where I can start paying for the party?
Oh.
That was my mindset. So if I go do these other things, you know, I could be, so diminishing leisure was one of my big things too, because I've met some very wealthy people and they love what they do. So the money is just a result of what they do.
Yeah.
And so they actually have, now they can have leisure. But if you ask them about their story at the beginning, there was not a lot. Steve Jobs, the side of a garage, right? That didn't seem like too much leisure, right? Or some of the things that Bill Gates talk about, people talk about how much money he has now. But if you read his story at the beginning, it was not all peaches and cream.
Right. You know, that right there reminded me of a story that I heard John Maxwell talk about. Man, this was years ago, but he just said, you know, he used to have so many people coming up to him, you know, asking him, you know, how'd you get here? And, you know, I love what you're doing. I want to be in this place too. And it was like, he was like, this was a journey. People don't, they didn't see the days that I was going through the airport and my wife was walking right behind me with these bags of books or whatever it was, just content and material.
Yeah.
All people see is like that end result, right? They're like, man.
Yeah, and so they see the finished product.
That's it. So I'm like, you know, it's, we never really want to go through the pain, you know, if our life was just, if it was laid out and we saw everything that we're going to have to go through, people would be like, I'm not doing it. They'll try to circumvent whatever they could, however they could.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy that you just said that too? You know that most people live their life in pain avoidance.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Pain avoidance. I was with my son this morning. I was teaching my son a lesson. I said, hey, son, think about this. What's the emptiest part of the gym? He said, I don't know. I said, the treadmill. No, because that hurts the most. Everybody goes to the weight racks because, you know, they can lift the weights, right?
Yeah.
But you rarely see people. You never hardly, if you go into a gym, you don't see the treadmill area and the parts that hurt the most. And people avoid that, right? Yeah. Or even when it comes down to having to go invest in your business.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know people that come to me all the time for mentorship. And one of the questions I ask them is, how much have you invested in your business? And they go, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, how much money have you put up front that you have faith that you're going to be able to accomplish these things? And they go, well, I haven't got to that point. I say, you're avoiding the pain because you got to kind of bet on yourself that this is going to work, right? That's called entrepreneurship. So pain avoidance is so real to in today's time. That's why we like so many different things that come to us quick. The microwave type of situation that people are always looking for, but I haven't found the microwave success in my business yet.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah.
Just to back off what he was saying, though, it's like people are afraid to be uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
You know, ET talks about it all the time. It's like, don't be afraid to be uncomfortable. That's the only way. It's the same thing with lifting weights. If you can't, if you're lifting weights and all of the weights are starting to feel like they're easy to lift, then you're not going, nothing's going to be produced from that. If you can't be uncomfortable with a situation, you can't allow yourself to be in a situation and endure the uncomfortability of that, you'll never grow. You continue to stay in one spot in your comfort zone, you'll never expand. And that's the terrible part of what you see. In another thing that we talk about is Black Finances Matter. People of our race and our gender and our culture don't even really understand that where they're at is because they're comfortable with being comfortable. They're comfortable with that routine 40 grand a year that they make. They're comfortable with thinking that, okay, I can take this accidental death stuff and think that it's going to be sufficient for my family. Well, the projects that we want to enhance lives with and provide solutions for teach this type of stuff. Lee, will you help us out with that a little bit more?
Yeah. One of the shows that I started and became the founder of is a movement called Black Finances Matter. And Ron was talking about that. I mean, we do that every single month where we get 300 to 500 people on, and we have a show with some people who are addressing the fact of where we are as a people. And I don't know if you knew this, Derek, but the average African-American family only brings in $40,000 a year. And right now we have 41 million African-Americans in the United States, but we have 2 million in prison. All right. And so the state of where we're at right now is where people are becoming more comfortable being under the status quo. The average medium of the United States is 68,000, and African Americans are only making 40. So there's a lot more complacency and a lot more other things that are holding us back. And our solutions are that we got to get into legacy wealth. And so one of the things Ron was talking about, when people are so complacent and so unaware of what we are as a culture, I have a new model I'm coming out. It's time for us to stop saying, I got mine, you get yours. It's like, I got mine, now let's get ours.
Yeah, there you go.
Because if we don't get into the R situation, it's looking very, very bleak at this point. But yeah, the complacency factor and the fact that people are saying, you know, hey, I can just rely on my job. And he mentioned a thing called AD&D. For y'all that are listening, that's called accidental death and addendum. What that means in English is that you have to die a certain way for your job to cover your life insurance. Did you know that? No, most people didn't know that. Like on Tuesday on a skateboard on the wrong side of the street. So you ask people, a lot of time, like, yeah, man, I got it through my job. I'm like, yeah, that's not real. You got to read the whole contract, right?
Yeah.
You can't read part of the contract. So if, you know, for people to really be able to start having legacy wealth and being able to help their kids and change their last name forever, you have to start thinking a little bit more long-term about, you know, would your family be able to move forward if you were not here for 10 or 20 years?
Yeah.
You passed away. How long would your family be able to move forward? Or, you know, if you really love your kids, what do you have in place set up for them? Things like that. Yeah. The next generation will be highly challenged financially. And when we're gone, there'll be so many people that look like us that will be highly challenged financially. I think the Harvard studies say that the African-American won't have any net worth by 2053 in the United States. So that's what we're fighting against right now, to try to get people to become more aware of how to circumvent that. And there, you cannot labor past that.
Yeah.
So we can't just use labor as the only source to fix those things. We've got to get into some legacy wealth products. We've got to insure our money, insure our families, you know, insure our kids. And so that way, if those things happen to us, we can be in a position to carry our families on. Let me ask you guys a question. What do you think is the number one killer of all finances? Take a wild guess. What's the number one killer of all finance?
Not being prepared.
Not being prepared. Nope. What do you think it is, Derek?
I was just going to say splurging, man. Splurging. This impulse of buying. Buying whatever you want.
All right. The number one killer of all finance is health.
Ah, great point.
Because when people's health decline, their finances decline. So if you don't have certain things in place like long-term care and living benefits and things like that, then if your health declines, you can't work. So what happens to the family? Most houses that are bought in the country are what? Two income properties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if one person's income declines, then basically it happens. Or if a person gets sick and can't perform at the same level they were, they take a 45% cut in getting in their income just from a disability standpoint. But there are things that people can buy for $100,
mm-hmm.
$200 a month to where they could pull out $10,000 a month. These are some of the things that we teach in our classes. Did you know you could basically have regular long-term care, regular living benefits, and if you got in an accident or got sick or something like that, you'd be able to still take care of your family.
Now, yeah. People just aren't aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is so, I mean, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about like how many people out there, they want to make the change, but for whatever reason, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier as far as being complacent.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think people just avoid thinking. Mm-hmm. They avoid reading, learning. They rely on other people so much that they get left behind.
Yeah. 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 That's go ahead, Ron.
It's sad that it's a fact in our community, but Minister Farrakhan is always said, Minister Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad has always said, if you want to hide something from Black people, put it in a book. Mm. We have some fantastic literature that's part of our mentoring program that Leland has compiled and put together for the people that join our team, where there's requirements, even not just our team, but we provide the people that we give these solutions to. This is part of the package where we want you to read. We want you to see what we're about. It's not just facts, but it's documented facts. But the unfortunate part about our culture and our understanding of who we are is that we don't read. And they say it all the time, you want to hide something from Black people, put it in a book, because they're not going to go search it out unless most people, the average Black person will not read 10 books on their own in their entire lifespan, will not read a full book from front to cover, not even 10 of them in their entire lifespan. You figure we live what, 60 years? That's bad.
That is. Yeah. That's horrible.
31 books. There's 31 books written on how to have your retirement be tax-free. And 88% of the people in America haven't read those books. So I'll say it again. There's 31 books written on how to not pay taxes at retirement time. But 88% of the people in the country have not read those books, because they go to work every day,
yeah,
and they still use the wrong retirement plan. So when we sit down with people and we're like, hey, did you know this? You're like, no. I'm like, wow, it was on Google. Right. So That's kind of one of the things I start off when I work with a lot of different type of clients, high net worth. I have 5,000 clients in the last 9 years, just me and my wife and our book, and our team has over 15,000. But when you think about the fact that when we sit down with people to help them, we educate them first because we know that they don't know. So yeah. So let me make it clear. A traditional advisor many times will not do any education for his clients because his job is to basically put the money inside the stock market and then get paid management fees off the money. Mm-hmm. The type of financial leader that I am and Ron is that we're on the other side where we don't charge the clients. We charge the companies to perform for the client. So there is no charge to the client at all. So we can give them everything so that they can evangelize that to everybody.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Great point. That's dope right there.
That right there.
Yeah.
Epitomize the difference what we do, man. Like I said, like we're really, really excited about the fact that when we, God has blessed us with opportunity financially anyway, as individuals of who we are. We're not in this to exploit, or like me and Leland refer to, what's my favorite word, Lee? We're not poverty pimps. That's
right. Yeah.
We're not poverty pimps. We're not here to exploit the black dollar. We're here to expand the black dollar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And encourage literacy. We want to make sure that we improve your situation, not destroy your situation and take advantage of you. That's not what our goal is. That's why we say literacy, solutions, education. As you can see, all of those terms are affirmations that lead to success, not destruction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lena, I know, man, you're doing this big time and you've been doing it for some years. Would you say this is like one of your specialties? This is your gift or something else is?
I think my gift is just a love for helping people.
Yeah.
In this arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a big, big vision. You know, one of my visions is that I want to have 1,000 African-American males and females become millionaires in the next 10 years. So I have a huge vision. I want to make sure that people can start to have legacy wealth. People can start to understand what they can do as business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping people really is my passion in the financial arena. And I've been able to do it in so far with pastors and churches and nonprofits and companies. But my big task right now, the mountain that I'm climbing right now, is to really get deep into our communities where we can go national and start having that financial piece be attached to the social justice part as well. And so when I see a lot of people that are, you know, asking for, you know, our rights and for things for us to be treated correctly, my opinion is that if we can take some focus and put it into the financial arena, we can basically get a seat at the table.
So
to be able to get a seat at the table, it has to come from a perspective to where we start empowering each other. So right now, African-Americans only circulate a dollar inside of their community one time.
Wow.
Right. But the Hispanic does it 10 times. The Asian does it 17 times.
Yeah. And they ain't no joke.
So they keep all their money within their culture. I mean, and so our goal now is to start to reach those people at no matter what level that they're at. And it's not just I'm working with one culture, but I am an African-American male that's on a mission to start having more men like that look like me have an opportunity to become financially free.
Now, would you ever see yourself doing something similar to like what Dave Ramsey does?
You know, man, that's a great point. You must have read my mind. So one of my mentors is it's challenging me right now to say, hey, Lena, why don't you? I just went to Tennessee and saw his headquarters last week when I got on the plane. That was one of the places that I stopped by to see. So he has these 5 mega buildings in Nashville.
Wow.
Where he's doing his work. Yeah. And I would love to be able, and I think I will be able to reach, you know, that pinnacle of what he's reached as well, because he does a lot of work where he uses a term. It's kind of funny you said this, Derek, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I did a video yesterday on TikTok that it says some of these guys talk about buy term, invest the difference, but most people don't even have a difference to even invest. And so that's one of his analogies that he says, buy term, invest the difference. And so, yeah, I definitely want and have a huge desire. And I've spoken at a few mega seminary things in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And going back this year as well and next year to be able to speak on those levels there on those platforms, because we want to get this information out from a perspective to where people have an opportunity. I think Ron said something very, very important. If the average person only lives, you know, to close to 70 years or 60 or 70 years, you got to figure that from the time that you stop working and to the time that you retire to the time that you pass away, there may be a 10 or 20 year span. If you haven't done those numbers and you don't have a job like somebody like, you know, that's in the sheriff's department or somebody has a pension plan, then how do you actually even make it?
Right.
You don't. You go back to work. So you see people in California where I live at right now, people are working to what? 72. All right. And it's just going up further, or that new movement that we have where people are moving back to the South. All right. Because it's cheaper to live. And I read a book the other day, says they ran us out of the South up to the North for better opportunities. Now we've taken that opportunity from the North to run back down to the South because we can't afford to be here anymore. All about finance once again, right?
Yeah.
All based on finance. Because if you had enough money, I mean, I like, and I'm not going to say what states, but I like certain states, right? I mean, there's certain states that are, you know, super hot and other things like that. But there are some places where I have watched my friends who have worked in their jobs here in California and then had to move. Down here. So they try to sell me on this, Derek. Hey, man, you know, I'm down here. I said, let me ask you a question, buddy. You're 3,000 miles away from your grandkids, and you're trying to sell this to me as retirement. This is not retirement. This is punishment.
That's
right. Because you're not even by your family. You're not, you know, so yeah, that's been a big eye opener of how can we take back our dollars? How can we make more money? Mm-hmm. So that we can have choices in retirement.
Yeah. That is wild. I mean, when I think about moving, I think the only state that I would possibly move to is Florida. Uh-huh. And I used to live in Florida. I used to live in Tampa. And that's the only reason why I say that. I'm familiar with it.
So you're familiar with it, right? Yeah.
But any other state, I'm not sure. I would have to go visit for a short period and probably just trudge it on back to Cali.
Figure it out, right? Yeah. See, let me tell you a funny story real quick. So, me and my wife were getting ready to buy a house in Florida 2 years ago, and we went down there. It was a beachfront property. It was beautiful, and we said, "Oh man, this is gonna be like our dream life." And before we could get back down there, right, it was underwater. Right, everything went away. It's before we could sign the paperwork. And so my friend actually sent me a picture of the land that the property that I wanted to have. And there was an alligator swimming.
That's wild.
Right by the place. And so I was like, well, man, I guess that's out. And then I went to some other states and I kind of took a look at them as well. And the point I'm making is that I love where, you know, where I'm at now. And I loved some of those other states as well. Yeah. But I want to be able to make my own choice.
That's right.
I want to be able to go to Florida, Texas, California, Washington, wherever I want to go. And that's the things that we teach a lot of our people now, is that if you do the right things now while you're working, you'll have enough money to be able to go where you want to go.
Yeah. That is so powerful. But speaking of powerful, I mean, we all have to like just kind of learn about finances and everything. What was your mindset like just kind of like early on as a young adult compared to, you know, to where you are now, like some of the mishaps that you actually had?
Man, that is a great question. And when I was growing up, you know, sports was my deal. So I was really, really big. I had a brother who played in the NBA. And then I had another brother of mine who played overseas and was really good at basketball. So I thought I was going to make it in basketball. Got close, but then it didn't turn out. But then when I became a young man, you know, we grew up in San Francisco where we were just all thinking about how much fun could we have.
Right.
So our whole goal was, you know, how much money we can get out of a job, to how many drinks we could have on a weekend, right? To circumvent the whole situation. So a lot of the mishaps, you know, that I went through were based on decision making.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, I grew up fast. I wanted to run fast. I wanted to do things fast. I, you know, had a lot of fun, but my connection and my mindset to money was not there. Right. Mm-hmm. I always knew how to make it. I never knew how to keep it. Right. So I was one of those guys who I go get a job in the hospital making $30, $40 an hour and still living check to check. Or me and my cousin will get a place together. We stay together. We just have a ton of fun doing all the wrong things.
Yeah.
So money, so money, you know, was something that we consistently had to keep on learning, having lessons about it. So, you know, I learned a lot about it's not what you earn, it's what you save.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about if your money's not growing, you know, then your money's dying. So I had a lot of death money when I was young.
Yeah.
It never grew anywhere.
Yeah.
It never grew anywhere. So that's what I would say is some of the mishaps. Another thing is that once again, I would talk about you are who you attract.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I attracted a lot of the wrong crowd just based on wanting to be in those crowds.
Yeah.
And, you know, their money was never something that was looked upon as doing it in a prospective way, the legal way, or doing things like that, to where there was always a big price to pay for the money you were trying to gain.
Right.
The hustle.
The hustle, huh?
Right. You know, them hustles, right? We know those hustles, right? So that's what I would say. And another one was this too, was credit cards, right? It was credit. And so anybody who I talked to today, I was like, did you know that your life, you could have a free life of money, or you could just have a life of credit? And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, if you have credit cards, you're paying interest. If you have a home loan, you're paying interest. If you have a car loan, you're paying interest. If you have a school loan, you're paying interest. Okay, who pays you interest?
Okay.
Nobody. So if nobody pays you interest, that means you can never win at the game of money.
Mm.
Because the only way the rich live off interest and the poor live off labor.
Yeah.
So you have to be having somebody pay you interest so that your money can always outpace inflation.
Mm.
If you don't have your money's not outpace inflation, then you're negative. So the average person in America today that has a 401k is getting about 4%, but inflation is 7%.
Still losing.
But they haven't done their numbers yet.
Yeah.
This is the movement that we're on right now to leave no family left behind, to really try to help people.
I'm about to get on. I'm jumping on board with that movement. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, this is your host, D. Wells, and I'm excited that we got this episode in. This is just part one, though. Leland covered a lot. He covered a lot. Just about transformative power and the power of financial mentorship, education to achieve financial freedom and legacy wealth. Y'all all have a blessed week. Come back next week for part two as we dig in some more. Remember, we can't become what we need if we remain where we are. Why Not You? Let's go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You? Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.